Trading.
Years from now, 2006 may be remembered as the year the world started to get really scared about global warming. Al Gore's film, An Inconvenient Truth, was a hit, and here in the Czech Republic, record-breaking temperatures in summer and autumn got people murmuring that climate change is already here. Well, is it? I asked Jan Pretel, a climatologist at the Czech Hydrometeorological Institute. He told me the answer is probably yes, and he's seen the warning signs.
In last 10 years, we recognize several very huge floodings. Yeah, the first such a flooding appeared in 1997. More or less one half of Moravian region been flooded. Next year, 98, the serious flooding in, say, the northeastern part of the Bohemia. The same appeared in 1999. In 2002, we recognize very huge flooding in Bohemia. In this year, we recognize several regions, small regions, which have been flooded three times, which is not very, very normalizing.
Climatologists like Pretel say that while it would be hard to attribute a single specific event, like a flood, to global warming, the world's weather patterns are changing significantly, and CO2 emissions from cars and factories are the main culprit. Recently, several hundred business people gathered at a hotel in Prague to discuss how their companies can reduce their carbon output. It's not that they're big environmentalists, they just want to comply with the two-year emissions trading scheme, which the Czech Republic, as a member of the EU, participates in. Daniel Demanovsky was a speaker at the forum. He represents Vertis, an investment and financial advice company specializing in emissions trading, also known as cap and trade. The idea, he says, is to use market principles to achieve a reduction in greenhouse gases.
Cap and trade trading is, of course, kind of compromise between interests of economy and interests of environment. But it means that if there is a company which has very good production program and it works on a green technologies for many, many years, so to achieve any further reduction is very expensive for this company. And then you can have some heating company which still burns brown coal. Because of this system, it's possible for a company like the latter one to invest into the first one and to achieve reduction which, without the system, could never happen.
Essentially, the less efficient company buys credits from the more efficient one, and the more efficient one then has further incentive to innovate. Anyway, that's the idea behind the European Union Emission Trading Scheme, a mechanism created by the EU to help its member states comply with the 1997 Kyoto Treaty on Climate Change. The basic concept is that each country gets a certain amount of emissions credits, a number that's decided in Brussels. It's then up to the national capitals to decide how many credits to give which companies. If a firm wants to emit more carbon than it has credits, it has to buy new credits from another company. At the conference, there were lots of smiling faces. Maybe that's because Czech companies on the whole ended the year in the black in terms of millions of credits used.
The Czech companies which are under the scheme can emit 97, but in 2005 actually emitted only 85. So they have a very, very comfortable surplus of these allowances which they can sell, and major part they already sold to the EU-wide market.
Which means a 12 million credit surplus. For the moment, Czech businesses are getting a reward for coming in lower than the amount that the European Commission planned for them. And still, the Czech economy managed to grow, just not in areas that increase emissions, like heavy industry. Jan Haverkamp of the environmental group Greenpeace supports the scheme, but says it has not been an unqualified success. On a scale of 1 to 10...
The way that the first emission period worked was, well, it was a starter. I'd give it a 6, just sufficient. And the reason for that is, it did not do what it was supposed to do. It did not decrease emissions yet, but it set people to think.
One major snag came earlier this year when too many EU governments gave out too many credits, and the price of a carbon credit plummeted.
If you get economy on a secondary school, I think somewhere in the second or third lesson you will be told about the pig cycle. Well, this is a very good example. I mean, every country now tries to get too much emissions. And we've seen already where that leads to this year. And in April, the emission trading market crashed. and the price of carbon fell on less than a quarter of what it started up to. This is inflicting damage not only on the planet, but also in your own pocket.
What the European Commissioner for the Environment, Stavros Dimas, now wants to avoid is another crash like the one that happened last spring, which seriously damaged the system's credibility. Which brings us to phase two of the emissions scheme. And here's some news for anyone who thinks that the Czech government has come to a complete standstill while the political parties bicker. The Minister of Industry and Trade, Martin Riemann from the Civic Democrats, this month came to an agreement with the Minister of the Environment, Petr Kalaš, who is unaffiliated, on the country's goals for phase two of the trading scheme, which covers 2008 through 2010. The Czech Republic is asking to up its allocation of credits from 96 million, which it didn't use all of in phase one, to 102 million in phase two. Again, Greenpeace's Jan Haverkamp.
Now, what I expect is when the representative of the Czech Republic comes into Brussels, hands over the envelope, and the person accepting it opens it and sees the number, that person probably will laugh the other one in the face. Because a 25% increase of CO2 emissions is not what the trading scheme is all about. The second period will become a lot more important. There we need to score an 8 or a 9 if we really want, on the long run, to avoid climate change.
But this is not the universal view. Jan Pretel of the Czech Hydrometeorological Institute says the scheme unfairly fails to account for the big drop in carbon emissions by new member countries like the Czech Republic before they joined the EU. Therefore, it's understandable if those countries try to work the system.
If we are asking more allowances, it doesn't mean that we want to emit more. We are just trying to have the opportunity to sell, say, the differences in emission and to reinvest this money into our new technologies.
Greenpeace's Jan Haverkamp sees a contradiction, however. He notes that just one company, the power producer ČEZ, has received the lion's share of Czech emissions credits and profits from selling what's left over. This year, ČEZ invested in a massive new coal-fired power station in Bosnia, which is not a part of the EU or of the emissions trading scheme. Greenpeace would like to see the Czech Republic and all European countries move away from coal as quickly as possible, seeking reductions through a mix of greater efficiency and renewable resources, solar, biomass, geothermal, and wind.
The first wind turbines you will now see in South Moravia, which is very logical because you saw them always on the other side of the Austrian border. And I think that people already do not believe anymore the myth that the wind stops at the Czech border. I think we're over that point now.
On the broad goal of moving away from coal and towards less harmful sources of energy, Jan Pretel agrees, but he says wind is not the best way to get there.
If I have a farm in countryside, I would build the wind propeller to produce energy just for myself, But from point of view of the contribution to the total energy production in the Central Europe, I don't see any perspective. We are very much dependent on the coal. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, from that point of view, I think that will be probably necessary to start to think about the safe nuclear energy in my country. Look at France. France, portion of the nuclear energy is about 75, maybe 80%. If we are looking on the emission, CO2 emission trends in France, comparing with the rest of EU15, the France is going reasonably well.
And there is a separate debate which has broken out in many European countries, whether nuclear power's benefits can ever outweigh its risks. On this, however, Pretel and Haverkamp agree. Modest reductions in CO2, as the Czech Republic has made, can yield only modest results. While scientific opinion is nearly unanimous that climate change is real, Czech President Václav Klaus has long denied its existence. In a letter to Tony Blair earlier this year, he wrote, "What is concisely referred to as global warming is a fatal mistake of the present time." As this snow-free winter goes on, here are two more facts to consider. The European Emissions Trading Scheme doesn't cover cars, the source of between 10 and 25% of emissions in the different European countries, and the Kyoto Protocol doesn't include China or India, the world's two rapidly growing mega-economies, or the United States, the single largest carbon emitter.